Well, what shall we preach on this Sunday? Oh, good, it's Luke, that happy hippie gospel. I'm sure Jesus is healing some sick people and saying nice things to everybody. Division and fire this Sunday for Luke. Okay, let's check in with the prophet then. Nope, hammers and more fire there. Well, how about the New Testament reading? Oh, good, faith. Faith is a nice, comfortable thing, isn't it? About peace and not conflict and the waters of baptism and not the fires of judgment. Let's see here. By faith, Israel walks to the promised land and Daniel survived the lion's den. So good so far. And then these others, by faith, were stoned to death. The writer of Hebrews recounts for her people the stories of faith through the ages, from Israel stepping onto the muddy seabed with parted waters on either side, to Rahab proclaiming that she had seen the God of heaven and earth working through Israel, trusting that somehow this work was the path that she was to join. But these aren't the only stories of faith our writer shares. For there are others whose faithful actions do not lead to clear victory or vindication. There are those who acted faithfully, this preacher of Hebrews tells us, and who were met with the sword and stoning, with destitution and torment. The writer also tells us of the one whose faithful, trusting steps led up a hill to a cross and a torturous death. Somewhere along the way, faith has come to mean the same thing as belief, something that we hold to be true in our heads, or if we're feeling sentimental, maybe our hearts. And if we just believe something enough or more fully or with greater and greater certainty, then surely our victory awaits. But the writer of Hebrews does not let her audience, then or now, hold on to these simple understandings. Faith, after all, led John Lewis to believe in equality, and it led him to walk across that bridge into a wall of nightsticks and clubs. Faith led Dorothy Stang to believe that forests were worth saving for the Brazilian natives and for the health of ecosystems for all of our sake, and it led her to confront her armed assailants, her murderers, with only a Bible in her hand. Faith led many people to hate what was happening in Germany, but faith led Bonhoeffer to go back into his country and raise an opposition before he was hanged. And those are only well-known examples, right? Countless people whose names have long been forgotten marched with Lewis, with King, with Rustin, and for that matter with Gandhi in India, who was shot, and Nhat Hanh in Vietnam, whose movement failed to stop the war. Countless people marched and walked and sang and chanted to great risk. Faith, a faith that is filled with and moved by the trust that someone else matters as much as I do. Not only the belief, but the trust that someone else matters. That is a faith that leads us to act in ways that are disruptive. It can lead to division and conflict, not because division and conflict are desirable or even useful, but because they are inevitable when systems of power are so entrenched in the ways we build our societies. Our world is built on tribal identities, on hierarchies based on skewed ideas of who deserves what and why. Our world proclaims that greed is good and inequality is inevitable. Our world declares that ends justify means, that might makes right, that winning isn't the only thing, but everything. Wait, I got those backwards, didn't I? But the word that God speaks to us This word disrupts this order and turns us differently toward one another. Our faith leads us to look upon the people that the world exalts and the people that the world ignores as equally valuable, as equally deserving. Our faith calls us to set our values differently than the accumulation game we are always being pulled into. Our faith calls us to lift up those that the world says belong below us and to call it a lie when anybody says or lives that they matter more than we do. Faith is an orientation to the world, a way of being in this world that departs from the ways we easily learn. We hear in the proclamation of the gospel, in the baptismal promises of a God who loves us freely and wholly, of a God who declares us worthy, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We hear the promise, the divine word, that we have value and worth not because of our goodness, not because of our ability to love, thank God, but because of God's goodness and God's eternal choice to love. And if you haven't heard those words for too long, or if you need to hear them again and again and again and again, God loves you just because God chooses to love you. And that is what turns us toward the world differently than we would otherwise face and enter into it. Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and needy, we sang a moment ago. Rescue the weak and the poor and deliver them from the power of the wicked. This is the justice of God. It is that the fires of destruction are aimed not at the people we might be tempted to call wicked, but at the wicked power that defines a person's value as a dollar amount. This is the judgment of God, that those who are told that they are unworthy should be lifted up and brought in, that those who are told that their needs come first, that their value matters most, should be released from their need to defend these systems of power, that they should be freed from their need to build their self-worth at the cost of others. We are called and gathered into this new way of seeing one another, this new way of understanding our world, and we are sent into our communities, our families, our world, to share that good news of God's righteous judgment about who is worth what and why, to share that good news with our words and with our lives. And we do that by trusting, by having faith in this word of God: you matter because God says you matter. Trusting in that word, trusting in that identity, we are freed from the need to build ourselves over and against one another, freed from having to believe in the world's judgment of deserve, and free to embrace God's graceful judgment of deserve. And at times, for some, that might mean taking water out into the desert. At times, for some, that might mean standing and marching outside a detention center. But always, for each of us, it means living that the person in front of us is a child of God, made in the image of the one who proclaims us worthy, and holding ourselves in that same dignity. And yes, others will at times react with fear and anger, with division and conflict, grasping after the power and the status that they have learned to love, that they have learned to call themselves. And yes, so this way of faith has dangers and risks and even crosses. But the one who went before us tells us that this is the way of new life, of resurrection. This is our faith. This is the judgment of God. This is the way of the Word. Amen.